Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
On Twitter, at Rich Scioli. Obviously, it's all about Pennsylvania, as my friend Jeff Yass said earlier in the show today. Whoever wins Pennsylvania wins the White House, which is why it's a pleasure to welcome back to the show the chairman of the Republican National Committee, Chairman Michael Whatley. Mr. Chairman, how are you tonight?
Hey, Rich, it is great to be on with you, and it's great to be back in Pennsylvania tonight.
Wonderful, wonderful. So where are you right now?
Over in Montgomery County. So we started out today with a quick trip up to Gettysburg and then over to Harrisburg, and we're going to end up in Montgomery County tonight.
Excellent. Well, it was great to see you in Montgomery County a few weeks ago. It was nice to be on the same stage with you and talk to all those great volunteers who were signing up for ProtectTheVote.com and TrumpForce47.com. A lot of enthusiasm out there. A lot of people want to help out and do their part.
Yeah, look, the numbers that we're seeing in terms of our volunteers and the activity levels are absolutely through the roof. And it's because, you know, a place like Pennsylvania, where you know how important this state is, and you know that we cannot take four more years of Kamala Harris and failed Democratic leadership. It's a good combination. You know, Donald Trump is running a really, really smart campaign. He's out there talking directly to the American voters. And both he and J.D. Vance are spending a lot of time in Pennsylvania because we know two things. One, how important this state is to get to 270 electoral votes. And two, the fact that Pennsylvania is a bellwether. You know, you have urban voters, suburban voters, rural voters. You have minority voters. You have farmers. You have ag. You have energy interests. You know, really, truly a microcosm of all of America right here in the Keystone State. And we know when we win this state, we're going to win the country.
Now, I know President Trump was in Western PA the other day, and he was talking to farmers out there, which was definitely a big deal, and talking about agriculture, talking about saving family farms, stopping China from buying the farmland, and also stopping China from flooding the market. That's number one. Number two, of course, is fracking, and not just seeing fracking, just, you know, the industry stay where it is, but to grow, to expand. I think those two issues, which dominate Pennsylvania's economy, are two issues that he's absolutely winning on.
He is. And when you think about the issues that he's talking to the Pennsylvania voters about, you just nailed two of them, right? But when we talk about the issues that all the voters care about, the number one issue on the table right now is inflation and the economy. Number two is the southern border and illegal immigration. Number three is making sure that America is strong enough to protect our interests at home and abroad. Donald Trump is able to go into any audience anywhere and have that conversation. He's winning on the polls because Kamala Harris has not put forward any type of a plan to provide any relief to any of the voters across the country.
What did you think of that? I don't even know if we call it an interview yesterday with Stephanie Ruhle. It was like two buddies hanging out, you know?
You know, I think it's one more example of Kamala Harris is just not ready for primetime. You know, I think that she was uncomfortable and she was defensive getting an interview from somebody who's already announced that they have endorsed Kamala and support her. So it's not exactly fair and, impartial journalism there. And she still was not able to coherently, rationally say what she's going to do to help the American voters.
Yeah, exactly right. And it was just a lot of her answers. They're just bad. You know, it's the rambling and the middle class and the bumbling and all of it. I find it to be frustrating. But that's also what people are saying, too. They're frustrated how they can't get any answers from her. They just cannot seem to get any answers from. I mean, the New York Times killed her on that interview last night.
Yeah, and I think it just kind of continues what we've seen. You know, her staff really wants to hide her. They want to make sure that she is only in front of a teleprompter whenever she's talking to anybody. We saw it at the debate where she was unable to answer a single question that the very, very friendly moderators from ABC were to give her. We've seen it in the multiple interviews that she's had on very softball questions that are coming from friendly interview people. Look, that she really is just not ready to be the president of the United States.
So, Mr. Chairman, when we think about Pennsylvania, we think about the get up and vote effort. And I know there's a lot of people listening who don't want to vote by mail. The nice thing is they don't have to. They can still vote in person, right?
Yes, absolutely. You know, as President Trump has said repeatedly, if you want to vote by mail, great. If you want to vote early, great. If you want to vote on Election Day, great. The key is you've got to make a plan. You have to execute that plan, and you have to deliver that vote.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to deliver that vote, and we're going to have a secure election. So that's what you're talking about now. And then swampthevote.com, too, right? Swamp the vote, too big to cheat, the whole concept around it, and get those votes in now. And so for somebody who's listening and thinking, like, all right, I got time. I don't need to do this now. Why is it important for them to do it now?
Well, the first thing is we want to bank that vote. We want to get that vote in. We want to check that box because you don't know what's going to happen on Election Day. You know, whether you have a sick child or you get a flat tire or something goes wrong where you're not able to actually deliver like you said you were going to. We want to make sure that we get those ballots in. And also, very important on our end, you know, we're spending money to make phone calls, to send emails, to send direct mail, to have people go knock on doors. And if we know that you've already voted, we don't have to bother you again. We're going to go find another voter, and we're going to make sure that we turn them out. But again, the key is what is your comfort level? If you're a person that just, you know what, I vote on Election Day every single time, great, go do it. Just let us know that you're going to do it. Make sure you make that commitment and know how to do it. You know, at swampthevote.com is going to give you the information that you need no matter how you want to vote. If you want to vote by mail, here's how you do it. If you want to vote early, here's how you do it, where you do it, when you do it. And if you want to vote on Election Day, here's where your precinct is. Here are the voting hours. And that way you can kind of put this in your own hands to be able to go out there and get that information. And we really do. We're very serious about making sure that we've got big margins on Election Day so that we can get this vote count done and everybody can go to bed at a reasonable hour, knowing that Donald Trump is going to be the 47th president of the United States.
Sounds nice to me, going to bed at a reasonable hour. Before I let you go, because I know you got to get back to it, I know lawn signs don't vote. We have always said that as politicos, but yet they are a great sign of enthusiasm. And as you travel the state, as you travel Pennsylvania, you're seeing them, right? You're seeing big ones, big barns painted with Trump and all kinds of different things, aren't you?
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic, you know, and I think that this really does remind me a lot of what we saw in 2016, where everybody kind of blew off Donald Trump, said that he wasn't going to win. Even we were close in the polls, people said, oh, yeah, that's an anomaly. It's not going to happen. You know, I will say this right now. We're in better shape than we are in the polls. We're in better shape today than we were 4 years ago or 8 years ago in terms of the volunteer and activist enthusiasm. We feel really, really solid about where we are. And look, we're running against Kamala Harris, who has not closed the deal. You know, campaigns and candidates really, truly matter. We have a better candidate who's running a better campaign.
Chairman Michael Wadley, always a pleasure, my friend. Chairman of the Republican National Committee, thanks for everything you're doing for us here in Pennsylvania. We appreciate it.
Rich, thank you. I'm really grateful for you and your listeners.
Have a great night, my friend.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, as we continue along here, I want to mention a couple things. First of all, as Mayor Eric Adams is indicted in New York, I just saw a story that emboldens the love gov, Andrew Cuomo, to potentially run for mayor of New York City. That's right. He's thinking about jumping in the race for mayor. But I want to remind you of another story that we touched on the other day. Ex-Governor Cuomo inappropriately influenced the witness in the House probe on COVID deaths. And in text messages, he was bullying this guy. So Cuomo, who's obviously kind of a thug, I mean, the guy, everything about the guy is thuggish, tried to inappropriately influence a top aide's testimony during a congressional investigation into his administration's disastrous mandate that forced COVID-19 patients into nursing homes. The witness is named Jim Malatras, who said the 66-year-old ex-governor made him uncomfortable by calling and texting him as the House Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic probed the March 25, 2020 must-admit order for nursing homes. This is all according to new evidence in a subcommittee staff memo exclusively obtained by the New York Post. The House COVID panel revealed in a memo earlier this month that Cuomo had reached out to Malatris to check in at least once during the course of their investigation. And he checked in by going, I'm assuming everything you're going to tell them is everything I want you to tell them, everything that I want to hear. In an addendum to that memo released Wednesday, text messages and a letter from Malatris show Cuomo reached out to his ex-aide three times since early 2021, and always within 48 hours of the Select Subcommittee taking a specific action in its nursing home investigation. This includes one action that was not public and only known by Cuomo and his counsel. The addendum states the evidence in the memo supports the finding that former Governor Andrew Cuomo acted in a manner consistent with an attempt to inappropriately influence the testimony of a witness and obstruct a Select Subcommittee's investigation. Wow. Now, how did Cuomo's spokesperson Rich Azzaprati say in a statement? How did he respond to this? He responded in typical thuggish fashion by saying, "This attempt to miscast the governor's communications with a longtime former aide is more of the same from this MAGA clown committee, who to date have a documented history of misrepresenting the truth and lying to the press. The fact is that the governor and Mr. Malatris did not speak until after Jim's testimony out of respect for the subcommittee's work." But here's let me read you some of the messages here. "Hello, Jim. Andrew Cuomo here. It's been a long time. I just want you to know I think about you often. I am very sorry for the pain you went through. It was unfair. It was mean. I am sorry that I was the lightning rod that hurt you. I always knew politics was a nasty business, but the level surprised even me. I hear you doing well, and if there's anything I can ever do to help you, of course I will. I know it hurts. Just remember, life has chapters, and how we get through the chapters mean everything." "And the last one is how we begin the next one. Getting knocked on your ass hurts, but it's the getting up that makes the man. Again, I'm sorry to have been the source of your pain. Best regards, Andrew Cuomo." So he's so full of it, right? This guy, he comes out, is a, "It's been a long time, but you've been on my mind. But I've had no reason to reach out to you until now, when you're set to testify to the Select Subcommittee on the appropriate, on my work of killing everybody in the nursing homes, for me being the nursing home killer. All right? So there's no, I mean, I had no reason before now to come back and do that to you, but now I have a reason to reach out to you, and there we go." And that's basically how this works. Just a coincidence. And it's a coincidence you happen to be testifying. And I know it hurts, but think of how much more pain I could do to you if I would, you know, make your life more painful. He's such a scum, isn't he? But I do hope he runs for mayor, and I hope he wins, because it'd be great fodder for this show. It really would. It'd be great fodder for the show. Radio gods, if you're listening, please, please. All right, more to come. The so much happened today in D.C. with the Select Subcommittee on the assassination attempt of Donald Trump. I got to tell you, though, my friends at Cherry Hill Volvo, I have an incredible special for you right now. It is an incredible lease on one of my favorite cars that I've ever driven, the S60, the beautiful S60 sedan, for only $369 a month for 36 months. This is a great, fast, stylish car with all the tech, all the bells and whistles, and everything you can imagine right there at your fingertips. And the best part is at Cherry Hill Volvo, my friend Judith Krupnik is going to make sure you have the absolute best price possible. Aggressive financing and aggressive promotions. And remember, we broadcast live from the Cherry Hill Volvo studios. That means so much to me that they sponsor our show, our station. They stand with us. And whether it's the S60, a gorgeous sedan that's fast and stylish and made right here in the United States of America at their plant in South Carolina, which you can lease for only $369 a month for 36 months, or maybe it's the XC90, the Zioli family car with that third row, get the kids to all the sports and all the practices safe and sound, or you want to previously enjoyed Volvo, maybe the XC40, the XC60. Either way, at Cherry Hill Volvo, you'll be taken great care of. That's why so many of their customers, like including me, become customers for life, because they love the personal attention you get at Cherry Hill Volvo. And there's never any pressure. You know, I had friends who went there 5-6 times before they settled on their XC90, and that's how Judith believes it. She always does the right thing and always treats you the way you deserve to be treated, with respect, and giving you the luxury buying experience you deserve for a luxury car like a Volvo, but only at Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, where relationships matter.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Virtua Health.
You know what I'm going to do? I got to share with you Javier Milei's speech to the UN. I'm going to play that before the show ends today. It's awesome. It's very rare that I go through an entire speech, but it's so good. And I think every kid in America should hear it. He just told the UN off right to their face. You know, the cabal of Bond villains that want to control us. It's friggin' great. Friggin' great. I'm going to do that in the next segment. But the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanari of VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariA, VanariaDental.com. 2 locations to serve you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury, New Jersey. Let's see, it's 6:26. I'm thinking, you know, this show has been, election season is always crazy. But Melania Trump, you know, we have that crazy caller who always calls up and thinks that Melania Trump's going to leave him. And I mean, he's like obsessed with her, thinks maybe he has a shot with her or something like that. Well, Melania Trump did an interview with Fox and Friends this morning. She was phenomenal and it was really heartfelt. But she talked about what it was like when they raided Mar-a-Lago. First of all, you can tell this woman genuinely loves her husband. Genuinely loves what a family man he is. And she said that. She said, you know, he's a family man. That's what people need to know about him. He loves his family. So for that deranged listener, and you met DeSantis, you know who I'm talking about. That guy always calls up and is always hoping that she's going to secretly leave him and maybe he can somehow have a chance with her. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that guy's a delight. We haven't heard from him in a while. I hope he calls in tomorrow. He's great
for
Fridays.
No, he's too busy. He's too busy cutting out letters from the newspaper, that all the M's that he can find, and all the E's and the L's, and then just taping them on his walls with pictures of her. But maybe he'll call. I don't know. But it doesn't sound like he's got much of a shot. Here's Melania Trump. And this is, I mean, it's frustrating what it must be like, right? When the FBI raids your house, goes through your drawers, goes through your personal belongings, and that's exactly what they did to her. It's outrageous. Cut 17.
The raid on Mar-a-Lago, the house manager texts you and says the FBI is out. They had access to my bedroom, closets, office, and rummaged through my personal items. Even searched Barron's room, you say. So how invasive was that? Did it make you angry? How did you feel?
Yeah, it made me angry. Yes. Invasion of privacy. And the way it was done was... I was really surprised.
You wanted to see it for your own eyes. What, with your own eyes, what did it look like when you walked back in your house that had been raided?
I saw unpleasant stuff that nobody wants to see it. And you get angry because, you know, nobody should be putting up with that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Some person, I don't even know who or how many people, they went through my stuff.
Yeah, it's outrageous. It really, really is. It's just totally outrageous. And you think about that, too, and the impact of the family and what it's going through. And then, of course, to see your husband had, you know, survived two assassination attempts. Just the amount of stress. But Melania Trump's a very private person. You know, she doesn't like to be out in the public eye. And at the very same time, though, she's incredibly supportive of her husband. But she also has no ambitions. You know, she's not looking to become something. She's not looking like Hillary Clinton was to run for president one day, or Michelle Obama was to go out and write all her books and go on her speaking tours and make millions of dollars. She just wants to just be at her husband's side and, you know, help Barron out, and because Barron's out now, of course, now at college. But and that's OK. That's all right. She's allowed to do that. I mean, when that caller called up and mansplained about what Melania Trump should be doing. Melania Trump's entitled to do whatever she wants. She's allowed to do whatever she wants to do that makes her happy and feels like she's, you know, being the best first lady. They asked her a question, too, about what it was like to be first lady. And she said, you know, it didn't feel like much of a change at first. But I remember the moment where we were watching. She said, we were watching Fox News, and then Bret Baier announced that, you know, Donald had won. And she said, she looked at him, she said, can you believe it? And he said, I can't believe it. And she said, I can believe it. So I thought that was pretty cool. All right. Javier Milei told the UN exactly what we all wanted him to say straight ahead.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
You know, one of the things I love about the times we live in right now is that we are able to break down and understand that there is a cabal of people trying to control us and control and take away our sovereignty. And what used to be conspiracy theories about the elites, the global elites, well, it's now fully in the open. And the United Nations doesn't even hide from it anymore. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. Great to be with you in our fourth and final hour. What a show, huh? I can't believe this week is flying by, too. Almost Friday. And just a reminder, we'll be at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey on October 11th, Friday, October 11th, for our next live show. I'm excited about that. So please make sure you mark your calendar and join us. The United Nations has a plan. The World Health Organization has a plan. It's all these cabal of Bond villains who want to take away our sovereignty and strip away our sovereignty. And of course, you know, we've got this cadaver as president right now, met with Zelensky today, gave him another $8 billion. Whoever's controlling Biden, you know, has the goods on Biden. So Biden goes to the UN and he kisses their ass and does all the things. And, you know, it always seems to be reasonable for nations to go to the UN and tell them how wonderful they are. But actually, the United Nations is responsible for some of the worst human rights abuses in the world. Anti-Semitism, forced slave labor, and of course, the stripping away of nation sovereignty. And they want to have this compact, this 2030 compact that would strip away America's sovereignty as well. Well, one guy's not having it, and that's the president of Argentina, Javier Milei. This guy is a bad, bad dude. And I mean that in a good way. He's a bad, bad hombre. And I mean that in the best way possible. This guy is doing things in Argentina that blow your mind. After 100 years of socialism, the country's failing. This guy comes around with his libertarian capitalism and is completely turning the country around. You know, he got rid of the ridiculous nonsense around the rent control policies, and it's never been better. The housing market in Argentina is flourishing, and prices have stabilized. The market is there. It's fantastic. It's great. And I love it. I love to see it. I really do. I absolutely love it. It's so fun. So fun to see. To see a guy go in there and just do what he's got to do and take names, and with a chainsaw, too. With a chainsaw. Rents down 40% in Argentina after rent controls were eliminated. Javier Chainsaw Milei goes in there and just crushes it. So he went to the UN yesterday, and he gave it right back to him. Now, he spent the first 3 minutes of his speech talking about the success of the United Nations and how after World War II it was formed and the success that it had keeping out another major global conflict. And he spends the first 3 minutes and 30 seconds of the speech doing that. And then he gets into what the United Nations has become. Now, this speech has been translated into English, And I'm going to begin exactly where the point where he talks about now at some point and what happens with bureaucratic institutions, something changed. All right, let's pick it up right there, shall we?
And as often happens with most of the bureaucratic structures that we humans create, this organization stopped upholding the principles outlined in its founding declaration and began to mutate. An organization that had been conceived essentially as a shield to protect the realm of men transformed into a multi-tentacled leviathan that seeks to decide not only what each nation state should do, but also how all the citizens of the world should live.
I just want to make a Captain America reference real quick. Hydra, cut off one head, two more appear, the multi-layer. And when Captain America says, you know, when they wanted the Avengers to all sign that compact to let the UN control them, and Captain America says, you know, these institutions are run by men and men have agendas and those agendas can change. Javier Milei sounds a lot like Captain America. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I like to keep my superhero references limited to just once a show, but I've been a little bit light lately. A little light. Here we go.
This is how we went from an organization that pursued peace to an organization that imposes an ideological agenda on its members regarding a myriad of issues that pertain to human life in society. The model of the United Nations that had been successful, whose origins we can trace back to the ideas of President Wilson, who spoke of a society of peace without victory and was based on the cooperation of nation states, has been abandoned. It has been replaced by a model of supranational governance by international bureaucrats who intend to impose a certain way of life on the citizens of the world. What is being discussed this week here in New York at the Summit for the Future is nothing other than the deepening of that tragic course that this institution has adopted from a model that, in the words of the United Nations Secretary himself, demands the definition of a new social contract on a global scale, doubling down on the commitments of the 2030 agenda. I want to be clear about the position of the Argentine agenda. The 2030 agenda, although well-intentioned in its goals, is nothing more than a supranational socialist government program that aims to solve the problems of modernity with solutions that undermine the sovereignty of nation states and violate the right to life, liberty, and property of individuals.
Boom. I have chills right now, and I've got such a man crush on Javier Milei. This guy is awesome. Wouldn't it be great if the United States of America went there to the UN and said exactly this? He's the Trump of Argentina is what he is. The translation is, you're not taking away our sovereignty, all right? And all of you Bond villains here who want to impose your little socialist utopia on all of us, well, you can kiss my you-know-what, because we're not having it. You're not doing it. You're not doing it. I love it. And he doesn't care, because he knows he's right. See, he knows he's right because he's an economist. He's not a politician. And he understands that his theory of economics is correct. And that's why he is correct in everything that he's saying right now. And he's exposing the UN for the agenda that it has and what it wants to do. But he's not done. Oh, no. And you know why this affects us? Because, look, you have to realize, under this administration, and if Kamala Harris gets in there, too, the United States will surrender its sovereignty to the UN in various ways, from the climate change to, quote unquote, human rights, which includes all the trans agenda and everything else like that, abortion, all of it. We will surrender it all to the global cabal of Bond villains. So if you think this doesn't matter, it's like, Zioli, why are you playing this Argentinian president on my ride home right now and fill it up? Because if this is what's at stake right now. A cabal of very powerful people that want to control everything for the rest of us. From the next pandemic to whether or not your 13-year-old can get a sex change operation, which of course doesn't change their sex. Let's keep going here.
It is an agenda that aims to solve poverty, inequality, and discrimination with legislation that only deepens these issues, because the history of the world shows that the only way to guarantee prosperity is by limiting the power of the monarch, ensuring equality before the law, and defending the right to life, liberty, and property of individuals. It has been precisely the adoption of this agenda which responds to privileged interests and the abandonment of the principles outlined in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights of the United Nations that has distorted the role of this institution and set it on the wrong path. Thus, we have seen how an organization that was born to defend human rights has been one of the main drivers of the systematic violation of freedom, such as the global quarantines during the year 2020, which should be considered a crime against humanity.
Boom! Boom! A crime against humanity, my man Javier dropping the thunder. That's a mic drop moment and a half right there. Oh, but he's not done. He's not done. Not even close. But this is the kind of wake-up call the world needs to hear. It really is. Because, you know, this is the kind of stuff that you don't normally hear about, and then you wake up one day and go, I don't understand. How is it that I'm being controlled by a cabal of Bond villains? I don't get this. What happened? Well, what happened is, because you weren't paying attention, the United Nations adopted resolutions that the United States adopted as well, even though it is unconstitutional. Because a treaty has to be ratified by two-thirds of the United States Senate. But we bypass that now, too. And we just go into things with agreements, like the Paris Climate Accords, for example. We don't do treaties anymore. The executive just goes in and goes, yeah, the United States will agree to that. And it has no real bearing under the law, and it's unconstitutional, but that's what we do. And then you wake up and go, I don't understand. Why there's another pandemic. Why is it now that the World Health Organization is calling the shots for all of us here in Philadelphia? That's how. All right, keep going.
In this very house that claims to defend human rights, they have allowed the entry of bloody dictatorships like those of Cuba and Venezuela without the slightest reproach.
Wow.
In this very house that claims to defend the rights of women, it allows countries that punish their women for showing skin to enter the Committee for the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women.
Wow.
In this very house, there has been a systematic voting against the State of Israel, which is the only country in the Middle East that defends liberal democracy, while simultaneously demonstrating a total inability to respond to the scourge of terrorism.
Boom!
In the economic sphere, collectivist policies have been promoted that undermine economic growth, violate property rights, and hinder the natural economic process, preventing the most disadvantaged countries in the world from freely enjoying their own resources to move forward. Regulations and prohibitions driven precisely by the countries that developed by doing the same things they now condemn. A toxic relationship has also been promoted between global governance policies and international credit organizations, demanding that the most marginalized countries commit resources they do not have to programs they do not need, turning them into perpetual debtors to promote the agenda of global elites.
Well, I'm telling you, I think I just felt it move. This guy is great. This is fantastic. How many times did the elites of the world tell the developing nations of the world, you can't have things like air conditioning, refrigeration, because it doesn't meet our climate agenda nonsense? He's exactly right. This speech should be heard by every school kid in America. Every single one. And you know why I'm playing it for you right now? Because you deserve to hear it. You need to hear it. We all need to hear it. This is important. I have only done this a few times in my career where I've played a full speech like this, but this is outstanding. Let's keep going.
The oversight of the World Economic Forum has also not helped, where ridiculous policies with Malthusian blinders are promoted, such as zero emission policies, which primarily harm poor countries, and policies related to sexual and reproductive rights, when the birth rate in Western countries is collapsing, signaling a bleak future for all. The organization has also not satisfactorily fulfilled its mission to defend the territorial sovereignty of its members, as we Argentinians know firsthand in relation to the Malvinas Islands. And we have even reached a situation where the Security Council, which is the most important body of this House, has become distorted because the veto of its permanent members has begun to be used in defense of the particular interests of some. This is where we stand today, with an organization powerless to provide solutions to the real global conflicts, such as the aberration and abhorrent Russian invasion of Ukraine, which has already cost the lives of more than 300,000 people, leaving over 1 million injured in the process. An organization that, instead of addressing these conflicts, invests time and effort in imposing on poor countries how and what they should produce, who they should associate with, what they should eat, and what they should believe, how it intends to dictate the present fact of the future. This long list of errors and contradictions has not been without consequence, as it has led to a loss of credibility for the United Nations among the citizens of the free world and has distorted its functions. That is why I want to issue a warning. We are facing an end of a cycle. Collectivism and the moral posturing of the UOC agenda have collided with reality and no longer have credible solutions to offer for the real problems of the world. In fact, they never did.
Good.
If the 2030 agenda has failed, as its own promoters acknowledge, the response should be to ask ourselves if it was not a poorly conceived program from the start, accept that reality, and change course. One cannot insist on persisting in error, doubling down on an agenda that has always failed.
But these bureaucrats always do double down. That's the problem. They do always double down on an agenda that has failed. They can't help themselves. They can't. They love to do it. They love to double down because they can. They believe they are the smartest people in the room. And they never acknowledge when they got it wrong. And they never acknowledge the destruction that they've reaped.
The same happens with ideas that come from the left. They design a model according to what they believe humans should do. And when individuals freely act otherwise, they have no better solution than to restrict, repress, and curtail their freedom.
Bravo, bravo.
We in Argentina have already seen with our own eyes what lies at the end of this path of envy and passions. Poverty, ignorance, anarchy, and a fatal absence of freedom. We still have time to steer away from that course. I want to be clear about something to avoid any misunderstandings. Argentina is currently undergoing a profound process of change. It has decided to embrace the ideas of freedom. Those ideas that state that all citizens are born free and equal before the law, that we have inalienable rights granted by the Creator, among which are the rights to life, liberty, and property.
I love this.
Those principles that govern the process of change we are undertaking in Argentina are also the principles that will guide our international conduct from now on. We believe in the defense of the life of all. We believe in the defense of the property of all. We believe in freedom of expression for all. We believe in freedom of worship for all. We believe in freedom of trade for all. And we believe in limited governments for all. And as what happens in one country quickly impacts others, we believe that all peoples must live free from tyranny and oppression, whether it takes the form of political oppression, economic slavery, or religious fanaticism. That fundamental idea must not remain mere words. It must be supported by actions, diplomatically, economically, and materially. Through the joint strength of all the countries that defend freedom, this doctrine of the new Argentina is nothing more and nothing less than the true essence of the United Nations.
What it was.
That is, the cooperation of the United Nations in defense of freedom. If the United Nations decides to return to the principles that gave it life and readapt the role for which it was conceived, count on the unwavering support of Argentina in the fight for freedom. Know also that Argentina will not support any policy that involves the restriction of individual freedoms, trade, or the violation of the natural rights of individuals, regardless of who promotes it or how much consensus that institution has.
Boom.
For this reason, we want to officially express our dissent regarding the Pact of the Future signed on Sunday and invite all the nations of the free world to join us not only in dissenting this pact, but also in creating a new agenda for this noble institution, the agenda of freedom. From this day forward, know that the Republic of Argentina will abandon the historical position of neutrality that has characterized us and will be at the forefront of the fight in defense of freedom. For as Thomas Paine said, those who wish to reap the blessings of freedom must, as men, endure the fatigue of defending it. May God bless the Argentinians and all the citizens of the world, and may the forces of heaven be with us. Long live freedom, damn it. Thank you very much.
Long live freedom, damn it. Thank you very much. Bravo, bravo, bravo. And the fact that he quotes Thomas Paine, my man, Javier Mele, I love you. I love you. My man crusher. Oh, man. Bravo, bravo, bravo. Every kid should have to listen to that speech. Instead of the indoctrination that they're getting about how it's a multicultural world and everybody should have to surrender their sovereignty for the good of the world and blah, blah, blah. Outstanding. Have a great rest of your night tonight. The great one, Mark Levin, is up next. Thank you.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.